Blog Talk Radio.
I'd have your back, and I have. You know, there are a lot of politicians in this country who don't know how to say the word union. They talk about labor, they don't say union. It's union. I'm one of them. I'm proud to say union. I'm proud to be the most pro-union president, according to the experts about in American history. And that's my. And by the way, I make no bones about that, folks. In this Labor Day, let me tell you what we're celebrating. We're celebrating jobs. Good paying jobs, jobs you can raise a family on, union jobs. You've heard me say it before, but my dad used to have an expression, I swear to God. He said, Joey, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck, for real. It's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being able to look your kidney eyes and it's going to be okay and mean it when you say it. And he was right. I'm determined to make that a reality for every family in this country. And we are making it a reality. Nearly 13,500,000 jobs just since you got me sworn in January 2020. 800,000 new manufacturing jobs. But you wouldn't know from all the negative news you hear. But we're getting through this one of the greatest job creation periods in American history. For real, that's a fact. And you know, it wasn't that long ago we were losing jobs in this country. In fact, the guy who held his job before me was just one of two presidents in history. He was one of, no, but there's an important point, one of two presidents who left office with fewer jobs in America than when he got elected office. By the way, you know who the other one was? Herbert Hoover. Isn't that kind of coincidental? Look, we're turning things around because of you. When the last guy was here, you were shipping jobs to China. Now we're bringing jobs home from China. When the last guy was here, your pensions were at risk. We helped save millions of pensions with your help. When the last guy was here, he looked at the world from Park Avenue. I look at it from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I look at it from Claymont, Delaware. Not a joke. You can't have the strongest economy in the world with a second-rate infrastructure. Can you believe we used to have the best infrastructure in the world, and then we fell to number 13 in the world, roads, bridges, internet, the whole deal. 13, the United States of America, 13th in the world. But guess what? Guess what? The great real estate builder, the last guy here, he didn't build a damn thing. Under my predecessor, Infrastructure Week became a punchline. On my watch, infrastructure has been a decade and it's a headline. Let me tell you, America's best days are ahead of us. They're ahead of us, not behind us. It's about the future. This is about the future. And, Lee, I can honestly say, I've been doing this a long while, but I've never been more optimistic about America's future. We just have to remember who we are. We are the United States of America. There's nothing, nothing, nothing beyond our capacity if we work together. So God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. You're the best. You're the best. We are the best. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
America, America's at the crossroads. Will we go back to the failures of right-wing trickle-down economics and hate, or will we continue with progress and try to build back better prosperity under Joe Biden and Democrats? The nation have seen this divide, it has never been this divided since Civil War. Will good sense prevail, or will the oligarchy and 1% ruling donor class continue their destructive sociopathic path that's literally killing America? Money is the end-all and be-all, as they can't care more about that than America and democracy itself. What are the successes of the Biden administration? What is the current GOP agenda, if any, of their 2024 candidates somehow win the White House and the U.S. Congress? When did we lose our path? Will we ever get to an equal and just society where everyone pays their fair share in taxes and not judge our fellow Americans based on acquired wealth, material things, their gender, their religion, and the color of their skin, ethnic heritage? We can do better than this, can we? Thanks for sharing across all social media and joining us tonight. Our lines are open to you, so you can call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises and distract even the host and fellow callers and listeners. Be polite and not speak over anyone. And be sure to visit our website. Our official website is www.kitchenpolitics123.com. Welcome to the Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Thicker from Michigan. I hope everyone had a nice Labor Day. And we're starting a new week tomorrow, so let's get moving.
Yes. So you heard that Joe Biden speech just now. The previous guy knew nothing, did nothing. Joe Biden saved pensions for millions of Americans. 30 million new jobs created after COVID-19 and after Joe Biden assumed office. 800,000 manufacturing jobs coming back to the United States from China and elsewhere. When Trump was in there, they were just exporting jobs, outsourcing jobs. You know, so Joe Biden, in his 2 years, near 4 years now, I should say, has done well for manufacturing. He has done good in terms of retirees. He's done good in terms of, you know, putting COVID under control, even though it's trying to make its way back. But we'll allow that to happen. If we have to wear a mask, then we have to wear a mask. So, you know, Joe Biden is a much better president of the United States than, you know, Donald Trump will ever be. Trump was in an alternate universe, and he's no good as a person or a president. So let's talk about it tonight. As I said, our number is 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. And we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Lori. So now, where shall we start?
Well, let's just talk a little bit about Bidenomics. I'll just go through a few things that off the top of my head that the Biden administration has done. It's the Inflation Reduction Act, climate, and he also did the climate and tax package. There were four key pieces in that: the American Rescue Plan, that was the COVID-19 financial support of $1.9 trillion. We had the infrastructure and investment jobs for transport, power, the internet, and water. That was $550 billion. Chips and science, semiconductor production, research and development, $280 billion. And then we had the Inflation Reduction Act for Climate, Taxes, and Health Care that was $437 billion. So it's not like President Biden has not been busy. And the man deserves to be tired. I'm sorry. He's been all over the country. He's been from Hawaii to Florida because of the fire in Hawaii that was a horrible disaster. And then because of the hurricanes in Florida. I mean, yes, he is 80 years old. And that would take an average person, you know, make an average person tired. You know, there is no one that can constantly be on the go and not feel tired from it. So I'm kind of tired myself of thinking of people saying, oh, but he's 80 years old. Well, you know, yes, he's 80 years old, but is he doing his job? Yes. Does he have a good administration that's helpful and has helped him pass all these wonderful things for the country? Yes. So why is it that they keep on focusing on his age? And he went on to say today, someone said, you know that Biden, he's getting old. I tell you what. Well, guess what? The only thing that comes with age is a little wisdom, Biden said. I've been doing this longer than anybody. And guess what? I'm going to continue to do it with your help. Now, he doesn't ever say that he can do this by himself, because no human being could do what he's done by himself. So I think it's time that we give President Biden some accolades, some credit for all the hard work that he's done in the years that he's been president. And the only thing that they have is inflation. Well, the one thing I have to say about inflation is that the president and his administration does not control pricing. They do not control the corporations who price goods and services. They do not control the price of gas and oil as well. So what we have to remember is it's the corporations and the gas and oil companies that are causing the inflation, in my humble opinion, because they are making billions of dollars in profits. They post it all the time, and they brag about it all the time. And this is why we have such high prices. They want to make the most money that they can make whenever they can grab it. And they use COVID at first it probably was an issue, but now, look, we're past COVID. And the pricing, they are still gouging us with prices. And what can he do about that? What can President Biden actually do about that? Not a whole lot.
Yes, and you know this. For example, gas prices, excuse me, with gas prices, for example, Republicans and Republican MAGA idiots look at that. You know, gas prices are out of control. It's Biden's fault. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down, look at that. You know, Trump got gas prices down, you know. Mm-hmm. So which way is it, MAGA Republicans? And they're saying, oh, you know, Biden is an illegitimate president. Trump is in charge, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's not in charge of anything, actually. I mean, these whole conspiracy theories and these nonsense that's been debunked and this garbage that keeps spewing out from the right, I mean, it gets discombobulating, and it gets tiring, you know. So, this may sound horrible, but I wish people like them would just die and leave us good people alone. These people are no good. They're uneducated. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They're willfully ignorant. And come 2024, we're going to whoop their asses. You know, I'm fed up with these people. I can't have a conversation with these people because they have no rational thinking, no original thinking. They're just stupid doofuses. But, you know, this is what we'll have. Yeah. So we'll just have to roll with it.
Well,
and,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, as a progressive Democrat and a liberal, what's important to us and our movement and our willingness to go forward is that, you know, we want people to benefit from society. We want people to prosper. We want people to have better wages, mm-hmm. better working conditions, mm-hmm. be able to buy homes, be able to get an education without being in debt for the rest of your life. You know, have fair care, good health care, you know, good health care costs, you know, and prescription drugs that, you know, don't cost an arm and a leg. I mean, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all possible. But the problem is that the Republicans fight the progressive movement tooth and nail. You know, I'll give you one example. There was a Republican administrator in Arizona that sold vast amounts of land to the Saudis, including the water rights of the emergency water supply. Now, I don't think that was a very smart thing to do. Why would you sell, first of all, land to the Saudis? That's number one. Okay, probably made a good amount of it. But the second thing is, why would you sell water rights? Why? I mean, that to me is the epitome of stupidity. Because what's going to happen with those water rights? Sure, they'll be happy to sell the water back to us, like the price of gold, right? Just so that the Saudis can make a profit. You know, and this is
and the thing about it with the environment, that being destroyed, water is going to be a scarce commodity. It's going to be as important as the air we breathe. So these rich Saudis are owning the property and the land and the water and everything.
Yeah.
I can jack up the prices anywhere they want. You know, look at what happened in East Palestine, for example, where they polluted because the train went off the tracks and things exploded. You know, a lot of chemicals went into the water and the air and the environment is messed up because, you know, what did Trump do? Get rid of regulations. You know, so when the rich Saudi friends own land like this and water, you know, with the Republicans going on like the way they're doing now, they get rid of regulations so the Saudis can do basically anything they want because it's their property. And who's suffering from the long run? Americans. So... Republicans and their people, the 1% from Wall Street and corporations, they don't pay taxes. All they want to do is make profit. And they don't give a goddamn about Americans. So I'm asking people listening, please do not vote Republican because Republicans don't care for you. They don't care for America. They just want to line up. And being taken care of when they finish Congress, whether they serve in the House or the Senate, they get a nice cushy job as a special interest lobbyist, get paid millions of dollars. It's a revolving door. It's a big conflict of interest. And these special interests write these laws, and these politicians will read these laws before voting on it. But because of special interests giving them tons of money in super PAC money and dark money, they say, oh, okay, vote on this. Oh, I didn't read it. Well, hey, no problem. Vote on it. Screw the people over. And yet still the people in the South and in Middle America and the Bible Belt and wherever else who vote Republican get screwed, and somewhere, somehow, Democrats get blamed for what Republicans do. So that's it in a nutshell.
Absolutely. And another, I have one more example. In Texas, the largest refinery in Texas was sold to the Saudis. It was called Port Arthur. They will have complete control of it. Once again, it's profit overall. Now, why would they sell? I mean, don't the Saudis have their own oil, number one? So why would they sell this oil refinery to the Saudis? I mean, how? Where's the logic in that besides the money? That's the only logic that I can think of. Is the money part because they're going to turn around and do what? Sell the oil for a higher price, and then you know, president, and then whomever is president, well, it's President Biden right now, they're going to complain about the oil crisis. But no one knows the backstory in Texas. You know, some people just don't know. I mean, I couldn't believe when I read that. I'm like, are you kidding?
No, it's nauseating.
It is. It is.
Yes.
You know,
we'll take a call soon, but, you know, we'll take a call soon. 515-605-9802. Do you know, fact, in 7 seconds, Jeff Bezos makes what an Amazon employee makes in an entire. So the question is capitalism a good economic system?
It is. It could be a good economic system if they would pay their employees what they're worth. You know, the problem is most of these corporations do not value their employees. They just look at them as a body that's, you know, delivering and, you know, shipping packages and packing them and getting them out as fast as they can so that, you know, so that Amazon can make money. I understand about making money. That's all fine and good. But take care of your employees. Treat them like they're valuable to you. Why is there such a turnover all the time in these sort of jobs? Amazon is always hiring. It's because they work hard and they don't get paid enough for it, and they don't get any accolade for it either. They don't get any gratitude for it, you know. In the warehouses, I've heard in the past that, you know, they only have certain amount of time for bathroom breaks and for regular breaks. And if, you know, too bad, if you have to go to the bathroom, bad. I mean, they're not unionized. And that's another thing. If they were unionized, it'd be a different story. So corporate greed is what's destroying this country. It's you know, from health care all the way down, because they need to make their, you know, their stockholders and their CEOs and the owners of the corporations, they need to make them the money so that they can keep their lifestyles. But, you know, but the employees, whatever. You know, it's not right. It's just not right. And, you know, right now, the big three here in Michigan, the UAW is asking for quite a bit. And, you know, they took, when COVID hit, and, of course, they weren't making cars and all of that. Well, a lot of those employees took, like a pay cut, or, you know, they worked less hours. They took a pay cut for the company so that they could keep their jobs and so that these, you know, the big three could continue on. And now they're back to making profits. They're back to making billions. And these people want, you know, things so that they can survive and that can live a good life. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And that's just something that these corporations don't understand. They just don't understand.
Well, they do understand. They do understand, but they're just fucking evil. They're just disgusting and disgraceful.
Yeah.
They don't care about anybody. They just care about the shareholders and making a profit.
Yeah.
The CEO makes 30 times or 130 times more than a regular worker. So why should they give a damn about, you know, regular work? You know,
yeah,
well,
we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens with, you know, with the UAW. I think they're going to be this coming week. They're going to be trying to negotiate, and if not, they will go on strike. They're also asking for a 32-hour work week. You know, I don't think anything's wrong with that. It's as long as they do their job and the production is getting done. What's wrong with a 32-hour work week? You know, Europe does that. You know? Europe does that.
Exactly.
Europe has lunch for 3 hours in the afternoon, okay? So let's, you know, that's realistic.
Let's get with the problem. Let's get with the times, for God's sake. Why are we always last? You know, catch up with the world and everything. Already we're 20 years behind Germany and Denmark in terms of, you know, the alternative energy. You know, I mean, we're just sucking the teeth of Saudi Arabia, who shit on us basically when they want to. But anyway, let's hear what this caller, you know, want to talk about today. Hello, welcome to the show. Elaine, welcome.
Yeah, good evening.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi. Oh, boy, it's been hot today.
Yo, it was awful today.
Just
melting
hot. It was 80, according to my thermometer on the front porch, it was around 87 in the shade.
Yeah. My car said 93.
Oh, this was in the shade.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is going to happen with the UAW? That's around the corner.
Is it going to be Chrysler's and Ford's and General Motors?
From what I understand, it sounds like it. Usually they just...
Yes, the three car company, yes.
Okay.
I think so, too.
It was a couple years ago or a year and a half ago when General Motors struck, and I think they were off only for a couple weeks. I'm getting quite concerned with the writer's strike. How much longer can these people hold out? Our family has been the recipients of a strike, and it's not easy. It is not easy.
No. It's definitely
not. I understand there are some big hitters going to be helping the writers out, such as Colbert and Jimmy. Oh, jeez.
Jimmy Kimmel.
I fell asleep for a little bit.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Different show hosts that are on around midnight. I'm quite concerned for them. The UAW, it shouldn't be very long, and they should sit down and they should negotiate something decent. Are you going to vote Republican again?
Yes, and these CEOs, what they're doing, they're threatening.
I have got a little saying for them, and if they get a little angry with it, that you form a union, you get together. Union is you. It is the workers. You form a union, you get two extra nickels, and you think you're a Republican. What the hell is with that?
I know. Yeah, I know.
So I'm wishing them the best of luck, and they can't count on their Republican buddies. They're not going to get any help from there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, David, what were you going to say?
Yes, some of these CEOs and corporations, what I'm doing is threatening to use GPTs, that's new AI technology, to write scripts and everything. So pretty soon they may not need actual writers, you know, and that's the greed of these corporations and these CEOs. You know, they live in $24 million mansions, having 401ks and can, you know, trade on stock markets and have yachts and private jets and everything. But people who is in the rough and tumble from day in, day out, the writers, it wouldn't be possible without them, you know. And what is, just give them what they want. It's only fair. You know, when there is reruns of TV shows, the writers get little bit of the royalties.
Mm-hmm.
That is so insane and wicked in this day and age, you know, because Friends has been off the air for how many years now? And the actors get a good chunk of change every rerun in different markets across America and the world. So the writers who made it possible, some of them not even getting royalties. That has to change. That's cruelty. You know?
It sure
That's
is.
Just sheer evil. It's evil. It's goddamn evil. You know? There's absolutely no excuse not to give them what they want. you know,
mm-hmm.
look how people put their lives in it, you know, they put their energy and efforts in it to make something successful. I mean, you, the CEO and the corporations, billions of dollars, I can't just give them what they want. Are you that greedy? Are you that full of shit? Are you just cast it beyond your, you know, your ego? Yeah, okay. Well, karma's a bitch, and karma will come back and bite these people in the ass. Just you wait and see. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for that to happen. You know?
Well, yeah.
I think their timing was a little off, too. I think the writers thought that they would be able to sit down and negotiate during the summer. And being that there is no need for fresh programming in the summer, you have mostly reruns, they're making the people suffer.
I think they've been on strike since last May. I don't know how they're surviving. I really don't.
Well,
in
June, the rerun started.
You know, I think the strike started last May.
That's right. That's quite a few months. June, July, August, September. Yeah, 4 months.
Mm-hmm. And there's a report from the Treasury Department last week. It showed an average of unionized workers earned 10 to 15% more than workers who do not have the benefit of a union. They also enjoy better benefits while unionized. Workplaces tend to see smaller racial and gender pay gaps. And organized labor has scored some big victories lately. Unionized pilots of the American Airlines scored pay gains of more than 40% under their new contract, while UPS drivers achieved what the Teamster unions called the most lucrative agreement in the delivery company's history. We have seen that there are examples where employers come to the table, sit down, and arrive at results, Acting Labor Secretary Julie Sue told NPR in the interview. I think this is continuing to inspire people that have called a hot labor summer. So let's hope that I feel like the Writers Guild, I don't understand why they haven't caught the attention of the public. Like UPS caught the attention of the public. The UAW caught attention of the public. Now, when Starbucks was trying to unionize, Starbucks had a fit. I think there's only a few Starbucks that are unionized, but the employees still are trying to form unions, and they should, because Starbucks makes billions of dollars as well. I don't know about in New Mexico, but here in Michigan, they're always lined up at Starbucks. There's like three around from where I live, and they're always lined up. They work very hard at Starbucks. And, you know, show appreciation to your employees. Give them benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a reason to come to work. Give them a reason to be able to be happy at work.
Well,
exactly.
I'm wondering about the programming that is supposed to start in September. It's not going to start. Our favorite programs, once we get back into the house, and most of the country will get back into the house one way or another, because it's fall and it gets dark sooner, then maybe the writers will be able to sit down and get some headway. I think it was timing with the writers. They should have never struck in May. They should have waited till September. They should have waited, or did they strike ahead of time because they would be writing all summer? I don't know. That part I don't.
I don't know.
Maybe the reason they struck in May is because that they would start writing their new programs for the fall season.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. How
I'm not sure how it works either, but You know, I think the management figured, well, nobody will really care. Nobody will get on their bandwagon. It's summer. Mm-hmm. Everybody's outside. Well, now people are going to start thinking about it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And another thing that, another thing I want to talk about just for a second, we have to talk about the employment rate. It's been under 4% for 19 straight months. That's the longest such stretch in decades. Competition for workers is pushing up wages, especially those at the bottom of the income ladder. Job growth is slowing, with employers adding 187,000 jobs in August, compared to an average of 312,000 jobs 3 months of the year. Now, the Federal Reserve, as we all know, has raised interest rates aggressively since last year in a bid to fight inflation. And the impact of those higher borrowing costs are still filtering through the broader economy. I personally, when it comes to the interest rates, I'm not honestly on board with that, because it has slowed down the building, you know, building of homes and buying and selling of homes. I think that maybe they should have taken a different approach, but I'm not an expert on any of this, so I'm not sure how, you know, why they raise the interest rate, how that cuts down on inflation. If somebody could explain it, that would be great, because I'm not really very, very well versed in that at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to take another call now and everything. The number to call is 515-605-9802. This is Kitchen Politics 123, Season 5, Episode 30. The topic is Between a Rock and a Hard Place, and we're talking about labor union strikes this past summer and how people are starting to pay attention to it now. You know, things have to change in this country. Republicans are the main ones, the main culprits, who is like, you know, just fucking everything up. That's not a better, mm-hmm. I don't have a better word to describe it, you know, but mm-hmm. they're just totally fucking everything up, you know, and stop voting for these Republicans. They're turning out right-wing, fascist, authoritarian mm-hmm. wannabe party, and we're not going to have it in this democracy. We'll come too hard, long, we'll come from too far and too long. These mm-hmm. fascist right-wing Republicans make or lose mm-hmm. our democracy. So let's get this caller in. Hello, welcome to mm-hmm. Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Not much. This is Sue in Michigan. Mm-hmm. But you are absolutely right on wages and mm-hmm. how the corporations are ruining our country. And I've said mm-hmm. it before and many times, it's Supreme Court's fault, because now they bought and mm-hmm. paid for Congress, who sets the rules, like pollution. They roll back mm-hmm. Regulations for corporations and pollution and, you know, the railroads. Trump rolled back those regulations, and look at all the derailments we've had and pollution. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. going worse and worse. And the pay, you know, hasn't gone up with inflation at all, and the unions have to push it. My husband had mm-hmm. Manufacturing plants, 400 or 500. We're small, but he said, if you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. He has second, I mean, we retired a long time ago, but they have second generation working at the factories because they're paid mm-hmm. right and they're treated right. And it's a good, solid job. So the sons and daughters of the originals are there, and the grandkids are starting to work there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you treat your people right. They work hard for you, and you turn out a good project. But you don't have they've never had a strike because they're, you know, they have a union contract. But you mm-hmm. know, it's fair, and that's what needs to happen across the board, and it isn't happening. And the corporations are just taking advantage of everything. you know, all the regulations, wages, the government is bought and paid for. Pharmaceuticals is my biggest gripe, you know. But, you know, they're getting away with it because they can, and nobody's there to stop them until we change the laws back where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the big three,
exactly.
When the COVID came, the union guys lost their pensions for a while. I don't know if they ever made it up or not, but they were crying so bad, the guys quit, you know, put their pensions on hold. So I don't know how that turned out. It's just, and corporations like Amazon that don't pay taxes, why? And the medical, you know, you go from one hospital to another. An MRI is an MRI. It costs so much. Why the big difference in prices from one medical center to another? Can thousands of dollars difference? And if you get cancer, I have a friend that's in stage four. She's spending $10,000 a month for chemo and stuff. That's on top of her insurance. So is that fair? Is that right? Who can afford that?
No.
So everything's screwed up, like you said, and it drives me crazy. I bet you at the TV all the time.
Of course.
And you know what?
You know?
The five states with the lowest minimum wages, there are currently 30 states in Washington, D.C., have minimum wages above the federal minimum wage of $7.25 per hour. Five states are not adopted a state minimum wage. And there are Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Two states, Georgia and Wyoming, have a minimum wage of $7.25 per hour. So, again, it's a red state. Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Tennessee, all red Republican-run states. You know, the door have...
How can you live on that when gas is almost $5? It went up to almost $5 a gallon. You're making $7? Are you serious? Where do you get the mortgage paid and the food and everything? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because these Republicans are beholden to corporations who give them money to funnel their campaigns and also give them the laws that the corporations and special interests write. And it's like an exchange. You put these bills through to become law, and I give you campaign funds. And after you finish with running for either House or Senate, then you have a nice cushy job waiting for you. I mean, this is what, you know, Republicans and even some Democrats stand for. They don't stand for the people.
No.
You know, they're to enrich themselves. And a person that stands out most is that witch from Colorado, Lauren Boebert. You know, long story short, shooters at a bar and restaurant went belly up. She filed for bankruptcy. It was poisoning people, the shit food and the bad alcohol. And so people sued them a lot. They closed the doors. She ran for Congress. She won in a gerrymandered district. So within her first term, she went from, you know, being poor and destitute and broke. And then now she served a second term. And now she's one of the richest people in Congress. How the hell does that happen? In the space of 4 years, you know, we have to ask questions like this.
There has to be a law, and, you know, I could strangle the Supreme Court for changing it. Why do campaigns cost millions and millions of dollars, and why can the candidate pocket a lot of that money for their own, well, you know, their own enrichment rather than their campaign? There's no reason for it. There's no excuse for it. It's just highway robbery, and they're stealing our elections from us. They're gerrymandering. They're blocking voting rights and making it harder for people to vote, all because they want to be, the corporations want to control the Congress, which they are, and therefore the whole United States is all about them and fuck the people. Excuse my French.
That's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Britain has a minimum, they used to, I don't know if it's still there, $250,000 and 2 months of campaign. That's it. You can't campaign past 2 months, and you only can spend $250,000. And they had, like, free TV ads and a little bit of stuff. You know, everything's measured. They don't have that problem like we have of corruption up the wazoo for campaigning for office.
You know, if we think about this, the only way that anyone, even if they're qualified to the max, you know, the only way that they could run for an office, you know, senator or congressman or vice president or president, the only way that they could do that is if they have money to start with. That is the only way. And it's got to be millions to start with. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy, whatever his name is, is a multi-millionaire. He might even be a billionaire. So that's why he can self-fund his campaign. So what I'm trying to say is that if you have a very intelligent, talented, you know, person that could run for an office and really make a difference, it won't happen because they don't have the money to start. You know, so how do we change that? How do we change that so that someone that is,
how we can change it? How we can change it is expand the Supreme Court from 19 to 15. It's possible. You know, it's possible, and that's why Joe Biden's majority in both the House and the Senate in 2024, and that's the only way that, you know, the Supreme Court can expand. Because the Supreme Court justices, the three ones that Trump nominated them, they were put in office.
But you know that the Supreme Court was picked by the Federalist Society, which is backed by huge corporations, all that money.
Yeah,
and, you know, Thomas and all those guys are being paid off as it is. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to change it unless, I don't know, lightning strikes, because that's the money goes round, picks the judges because the corporations back it. And you still have, you'll have more judges that are bought and paid for too. It's not going to happen unless, like my dad used to say, blood in the streets and we riot. That's it.
Yeah,
people have to get up and protest big time.
Yeah, protest. But the most important thing is voting. A lot of states have recall elections. If, you know, a politician or a Democrat or Republican going there and say, yes, I'm going to run this platform, and this is what I'm going to do to help the people, and this is what I'm going to do for infrastructure in the state, that. And going there, you get a little time to, like, adjust, and, you know, there's a learning curve for the brand new. But, you know, again, in these southern states, like Kentucky, for example, Mitch McConnell's been in there since 1984, he is the biggest doofus I've ever known in politics, you know? And why do these people keep voting Republican when the same Republicans screw them over? With 15 seats on the Supreme Court, you know, can roll back a lot of what the Supreme Court currently did, the current Supreme Court, and we can have a watchdog group watch the Supreme Court does. Like Clarence Thomas wouldn't get away with what he did, taking money from that billionaire, Harlan Crow, and when, you know, they go with the shenanigans and everything, there's always that watchdog group to keep them honest. You know, so with 15
seats on Supreme Court. It has to be a watchdog group for Congress, too. I mean, it's got to be the entire government, because they're giving away with murder right now. And you were talking about the Arab countries buying oil refinery and stuff. Do you think that had anything to do with Jared getting his money?
You never know.
Probably.
You never know.
I mean, come on. We know that that's what happened. We know that.
It was in Texas. So I'm not sure. I can't
yeah, but
say,
it was oil companies and water supply.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
yep.
going
Theory.
After what they need.
Theory.
And, okay, are they going to not produce oil for us so they can jack up the prices more? You know, take over the refinery and then not produce?
That's right.
Well, that's
well,
that's
you
the
hit
ABC.
On it, Susan.
That's
you
the
hit on it, Susan.
Yeah, for sure. You know? I mean, what other plan do you think they have? You think that they
I just don't recognize our country anymore.
Huh?
I just don't recognize our country anymore. Taking away
no,
the rights
nobody,
of the people
of
for
do.
Abortion that we fought for. Well, you know,
nobody
I
does.
Remember when I was young, women protesting and everything, going to Washington
yep.
and finally getting it. And
mm-hmm.
and they're rolling back our rights, left and right, our voting rights and all this
mm-hmm.
other stuff. Gerrymandering. They didn't have gerrymandering back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just I can't stand it. I feel like I can't do anything about it. I mean, you got to get the vote out, but is that enough? Can
we
change
gotta get
everything
rid of the lobbyists.
We need to change?
We need to get rid of the lobbyists. The,
oh,
lobbyists,
God, yeah.
are the lobbyists are the ones that are giving they're just screwing up the whole mess. I don't understand why you can have corporations. These lobbyists form a corporation, and then they are a lobby corporation, and they're down there every day of the week.
Yeah.
With their bribes.
The pharmaceutical, the gun lobbies, all that. Yeah. We're
mm-hmm.
dying here. I mean, people are dying because they can't afford medicines, and they're dying from the guns. And the Congress isn't doing a damn thing about it because they're bought and paid for.
Did you know that a group of citizens, if we got together and we decided that we would make trips to Washington, we would be allowed so many free times, and then we would have to file paperwork, which would cost us buco bucks. We would have to file paperwork because now we would be considered a lobby. Because we want to go to Washington or we want to knock on a certain senator or representative's door more than a couple times. That's they've done it to us. And it's time that we start screaming and yelling. Our group right here talking, we could only go to Washington so many times, and then we would be told, no, you got to file the paperwork, and you got to buy this, and you got to get this permit, and you got to get that permit. We haven't got the money to do it. That's a shame when regular people have to be treated that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fact.
We have to flood their offices with phone calls, emails, texts.
Mail. Have their office so full of postcards that they can't walk in the damn door. If everybody sent them a postcard with a complaint on it, they wouldn't be able to walk in the door. And that's what they need. They need visual.
Plus, we got to write the letters to the editor. Our little stupid paper up here wouldn't print some of the stuff I wanted to write.
We don't have any papers down in our area, and we're
two.
A big city. We have nothing. We have no written words. We have to people count on their telephones and on their TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger generation can't afford. They usually get internet for their TV and usually for their computers. And that's where they're getting their news from.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
we don't have newspapers
distorted.
Down here.
And that's why it's distorted. It's, you know, and then you get the Chinese and the Russians and all that putting crap on the internet, and they believe it. That's how Trump got elected.
Well, you know, if you tell a lie enough times, people start believing it. Just like
exactly.
I said last night, Tokyo Rose, propaganda. You repeat propaganda enough times and people start believing it. So we have to keep repeating the truth and repeating
exactly.
it and repeating it and repeating it. We have to become polyparrots.
Yep. Let's move on for a moment. David, did you have something you wanted to add?
Nah, go ahead.
Pardon?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Another thing I want to talk about. I'm going to talk a little bit about what Republicans have done. In Montana, Republicans have banned a democratically elected transgender member from walking on the House floor in retaliation for her calling out their anti-LGBTQ laws. That, to me, is appalling because
it's never ending.
She was elected, and the people elected her, and there is no reason why the House members can censor her like that. Now, they're doing the same thing in Tennessee to those two young men. They're still doing that to them. There's another thing. How about Reagan? Let's talk about Reagan for a second. He's your favorite, David. When he came into office, what is the first thing that he did? He cut taxes for the wealthy and the well-connected.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened to the deficit? It exploded, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened when Reagan came into office. And then we have George W. Bush, 2001 and 2003. The first thing that he did was do what? He did
taxes for the wealthy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the well-off, the well-connected. He had two failed wars, a deep recession, you know, and we had a deficit. This is what Republicans do. And they say that they're conservative. What are they conserving?
Their own money.
And nobody can ever answer it with the truth.
Nope.
You know? And then we have Trump. Let's talk about him. Trump in 2017, the first thing, what did he do? Massive tax cuts for the wealthy and the well-connected.
Mm-hmm. And doing this 4 years. $7 trillion in tax cuts for the wealthy. $7 trillion.
Exactly. So think about that.
They've been doing it since Herbert Hoover. I never learned. This is how ignorant and fucking stupid these right-wing nut jobs are. My God.
Yeah, but don't give the people more Social Security. You got to cut that we paid into. And our Medicare, that's got to be cut. But they can give the tax break to all these big corporations and rich people. That's fine. Where are the regular Republicans? If they cut my Social Security and Medicare, they're cutting theirs too. Where the hell are they? Why do they reelect these idiots?
Yeah, you know, it's insane because they do this all the time. They do this every time they get elected. They give their rich corporations tax cuts, and then that money that they are reinvesting for themselves and buying themselves yachts and whatever else they're doing with that money could be paying off our deficit with their tax dollars. That's what we could be doing with that money.
But what is their narrative when they are doing this? What is their narrative? Do you remember Reagan's
trickle-down
line, the woman in the fur coat with the Cadillac that went to pick up her welfare check? He called her the welfare queen, and he described her as being 300 pounds with a great big giant fur coat. So everybody was fixated on the welfare queen while they were screwing the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to start feeding their narrative along with every other rule that they have broken.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, David.
Do you notice how Ronald Reagan, you know, he draw race into it, but since the welfare state was created, it was created for mostly poor white women in the South, because the the what happened when FDR was trying to like reboost the economy, and the depression caused him to try everything to get people back to work, and so the welfare system was created to help mostly poor Southern white women. I know Reagan come and like not only politicized it, but also put race in it, saying the welfare queen from the ghetto in fur coat and Cadillac and everything, like what Elaine was saying. So even to this day, more white women in the South, poor white women in the South, depend on welfare. So you can understand, you cannot understand why someone from Arkansas or Kentucky in rural parts or anywhere in the South would vote Republican, because we show them in front of them, say, here, these are the statistics, these are the facts, this is the history of welfare, why do you vote Republican? Oh, well, my granddaddy was a Republican, they look after me, it's like the ignorance is so, I don't know, I can't put it in words, but the ignorance just out of control. And once Reagan put, race in it, then it become even more personal. We know how South love black people already,
And with the high interest rates that you can't afford to buy a car or afford to buy a house or pay the rent nowadays, that's ridiculous. I told you my friend's paying on a used trailer $1,600 a month in a dump. How can anybody, save anything? How can anybody put away for your old age? I mean, they're robbing us constantly, us regular people. But any other country in the world can give minimum health insurance to everybody. Everybody's got minimum care. They can afford to buy a house and stuff because interest rates aren't ridiculous. And the big thing up here is there is no low income or affordable housing for teachers and nurses and people that work in stores and groceries. They can't afford to live here. It's too damn expensive. And then they cry they don't have workers. Really?
Well, yes, the work situation, I also believe, is, I don't know if it's really true, I think the corporate, I have known quite a few people, younger people, that have put in application after application after application, and they never hear back from the employers. I kind of feel like it's kind of a game that they're playing, like they're trying to make it sound like these, people don't want to work. We have help wanted, but nobody wants to work. It's not like they're not applying for jobs, because I believe that the average person in this country works and works hard. Everyone wants to work. Who does not want to have a decent life? I mean, if you have a drug or alcohol addiction, then that's a whole different story. But if you are someone that wants to work, raise a family, you are not going to not work. You're just not going to do that. That is not how Americans do things in this country. So
one reason is that
corporations, I kind of feel like the corporations are kind of just going with that narrative, so they don't have to hire people. So they don't have to hire a lot of people. Like McDonald's right now, there's one McDonald's in this area, and I hate McDonald's, but someone told me, and it's not like I go there, but someone told me that they got rid of just about everyone, just the people that are cooking there. When you go in, you go to a kiosk, and all you do is put your order in the kiosk, and then you get your order. There is no person taking orders anymore.
I know. They do that up here in our small town even.
They're
not answering the applications of people, because if on the application they say, how much money are you expecting to get? And if they put anything that's higher than they're willing to give, they're not going to answer you. You got to be, give me minimum wage. Yeah, okay, you're hired.
Yeah.
Gone is the day where you got all dressed up and you went from company to company to company, and you went to the office and you filled out an application. Now, if you are down on your luck and you don't have an internet, you can't fill out squat shit. All applications are either done, they're all done on the internet.
Yeah.
You go to the library. And you, if you're down on your luck, you pay your money, and those are not your machines, those are not your computers, and then they aren't working right, and you're trying to fill out applications, and and you're supposed to get a job that way? What happened to the day where you knock on the door and somebody talks to you personally and sees what you're like? You put everything on the internet. You know, this internet is not cracked up to what they keep claiming it is.
No, I agree. I agree.
You're living in your car. How the hell are you going to get a job when you can't get to the internet?
You can't. And there's something about having an interview that's face-to-face versus an interview that's online, you know, virtual, because there's a connection that is missing, in my opinion, like a human connection that is missing. So you could be very well qualified for a job, for that job, but if the human connection is not felt between the two of you, then maybe you won't get the job, you know?
Back in the Stone Ages. I personally know a woman that got her job. She's very well qualified. She's good with numbers. That's what she does for a living. That's what she studied. And she and I said, "When is your interview?" She said, "Oh, I had my interview on the phone." And I was sitting and talking with her, and the phone rang. And she said, "Oh, gee, that's the lady from the place." We're talking about 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. The woman decided to call her and ask her some questions. 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night?
I know.
Anyway, she asked her some questions, and she told her to come in the next day. 2 weeks later, I said, "Are you still at your job?" She says, "Man," she says, "I wish I would have had a personal interview." She says, "I walked out the door. That's how horrible it was."
Yeah.
Back in the Stone Age, I had my master's degree in HR. And back then, you know, as a student, we had to learn how to do interviews. That was my master's thesis, and how to, you know, how the kids were supposed to, employees to be, did resumes and fill it out applications, and you had to ask the right questions to hire these people. How in the hell can you hire a good person if you can't even talk to them in person? How do they dress? How do they act? Can they speak well, and all this other stuff? As HR, I mean, you would think that would be the best way to do it rather than on the internet or FaceTime on a stupid screen. You can't even, you know, get the feel of the person. I don't know. I'm glad I'm old and not in the getting a job right now, that's for sure.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
I mean, I think our pace is moving a little bit too fast, and a lot of it it goes back to our politics. It goes back to our government. They can slow this down. This is getting to be ridiculous. Everything's corporation.
Yep.
No, I agree with that.
They're struggling. There are people out there, they want to work. And, you know, people are going homeless because they can't pay their mortgages or they get sick and lose everything. That's ridiculous. That shouldn't happen. It doesn't happen in any other country in the world but ours.
Yeah.
Get one good illness and you lose everything. You could work for 70 years, get one good illness, and it's gone. It's gone, and there's nothing out there to help you put your back on your feet.
Exactly. Very, very true. Okay, let's move
on. And Medicare better straighten its act out. I recently went for a test. My copay is X amount. I got a bill for hundreds of dollars because Medicare is allowing this facility to charge extra because I don't belong to that facility. In other words, a particular hospital.
You're out of program.
I'm out of their program.
Exactly.
I'm not in,
yeah.
in Hospital A. I happen to
mm-hmm.
deal with Hospital B. So therefore,
mm-hmm.
because I don't deal with Hospital A, they want a couple hundred dollars from me. Well, guess what? They're not getting it.
Yeah. I know. That happens all the time, Elaine. It's not good. It happens
and
all
Medicare
the time. And
Medicare allows it.
Yeah.
Where do I call? No, I get on the computer on my phone. That's the computer I have right now. I go through one department after another, and it's leave me a message. I'm leaving a message. Then a thing pops up, and it says, get your credit card. If you're going to ask any more questions, it's going to cost you.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I don't know how to
navigate this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am serious. That's what happened to me. I wanted to report it.
That's great.
And if you happen to get somebody on the phone, they haven't got a clue what the hell you're asking them. I'm angry right now because of the fact it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. Worse and worse every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
That's with health. That's with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Have your vacuum cleaner blow up on you. Where are you going to call? China?
I know.
Oh, this vacuum's a lifetime guarantee. Yeah, bullshit. Nothing.
Let's move on for a second. The GOP faces September. They're kind of in a tizzy right now on impeachment and spending. So let's just talk a minute about that. The House Republicans are set to face two major and politically polarizing issues when they return to Washington next week. September was always poised to be a busy stretch on Capitol Hill, with lawmakers staring down an end-of-month deadline to fund the government or risk a shutdown. But Speaker McCarthy, of course, announced that he would open an impeachment inquiry into President Biden as soon as September has kicked out that hectic outlook into overdrive. So there's two efforts that are slated to come to a head next week, with McCarthy and the House Republicans will have 11 let days to keep the government's lights on and to come to some sort of a consensus on the potential impeachment inquiry, a heavy lift for a conference that has little time and large disagreements on both matters. So what they are planning on doing is basically work on impeaching Biden. For what reason? And also, they want
to... Who's got the radio on?
I don't know. There's something. I don't know what that noise is. It's kind of throwing me off.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? It's me, Eric Brantley, here.
Pardon? The GOP lawmakers are brushing off any concerns about taking on both venues in September. Rep. Daryl Issa from California, a 22-year veteran in the House, said different lawmakers focus on different undertakings, allowing all of them to move forward at the same time. So, in other words, five political narratives that will dominate Fox.
Lori, something has cut in bad.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
I think it's Eric that called in. I heard him say that.
Oh. I don't know.
Can you guys hear me right now?
Eric, are you on the line?
Yes. Yes, can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me right now?
Yeah, well, Lori's trying to talk.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you before. I did not hear you at all. I could hear some mumbling.
Can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me right now?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
How are you, Eric?
I didn't know that you. I'm good. I'm good. I don't know how you guys could tell that I was calling in, but yeah.
Okay. So, anyways, I was just going to start talking about how the GOP, when they come back in September, you know, they're going to worry. They're going to talk about impeaching President Biden for what, I don't know. And of course, they're going to sacrifice spending once again to shut down the government if they don't get their ways. So, what do you think about that?
Well,
you know what?
The only reason they want to impeach Biden is because they don't like him. They haven't got any proof. They haven't got any reason. But they're just nuts. They're just plain nuts. And they want to shut down the government. Who in the hell knows why? I think they want to completely destroy this country so Putin can walk in.
That's possible.
Watch
Eric,
the movie Olympus and it starts making you really think.
Eric, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know what? Again, it's like I said before, all the stuff that the Republicans are throwing towards Biden, I mean, none of it is sticking. I think that the I can't remember who it was, but I saw a clip a couple months back where one of the Republicans basically subtly and indirectly admitted that they didn't really have anything on the Biden family. You know, to me, it's almost similar to the Hillary Clinton email thing where it's like, okay, yeah, you know that there's emails deleted, Hunter Biden, whatever. I guess you can argue there might have been some shady stuff on the laptop. We still don't know what exactly. But if they have the evidence of what is on that laptop, then there should be a way for them to present that, and there should be a way for them to, you know, find a way to externalize it and to make it public. Nobody has done that yet, so I don't know how far this impeachment is going to go. I think there's a number of Republicans in the House who they may not like Biden, but I don't know if they can bring about a reason to impeach him, and so they may not even go along with it.
Eric, on what grounds do you think that they could try to impeach Biden, President Biden? Now, his son, we have to remember, Hunter Biden has nothing to do with the government. Nothing at all. He doesn't work for the government. He's not a congressman. He's not a governor. He's not anything in our government. So what is the fixation on Hunter Biden, number one? And then the second thing is, what has President Biden done to warrant them trying to impeach him? On what grounds?
You know what? I'll say this. I'm just as lost on that one too. That one I don't really have the complete answer for. The only thing I could say is I've been seeing these clips where Marjorie Greene and Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan and all the MAGA Republicans are talking about wanting to impeach Biden, but not a single one of them has said why. The only thing they can sit there and say is gas prices, inflation, which by the way has gone down. And by the way, I understand that from the political/legal perspective, impeachment is just a vote, so it's not necessarily they have to do something criminal. But at the same time, there's a number of Republicans even who understand that we're not going to just impeach somebody just for any reason, just because we don't like them. And so that right there, I can tell you my prediction is they can sit there and write out the impeachment, but I don't think there's going to be much to it. And if I didn't know any better, I'd say it's probably not going to pass the House, and if it does pass the House, it definitely won't get to the Senate. So that one right there, I agree with you on. I don't know what the impeachment thing is about. You know, even when it came to Bill Clinton, it's like, okay, I could understand that because of what went down with Lewinsky and whatnot, but at least that was a legit reason, and at least you can say a little bit about that. But with this one right here, there is no he committed a crime and the country's in danger. I'm like, no, he's passing policy that is bettering people's lives. What?
Mm-hmm.
And so when people look at that and they're confronted with that, they have nothing to say.
Yeah, but Eric, in the meantime, the government's at a standstill when they're playing this stupid game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? And that's the thing about the – I, you know what? I have a theory. I think the only reason why, and if I were talking to a MAGA person, they probably won't admit this. They might admit this to somebody on their side. But I think if I didn't know any better, the only one reason that they would have to impeach Biden is because they think it's a vengeance plot. It's basically an act of revenge because we impeached Trump. And the whole thing about it is, it's like this whole thing about going back and forth. You got this party undoing what the other party did, vice versa. Oh, they did it to our guy, so we're going to do it
to
their guy. But the difference is, with Trump, we actually had reason to impeach him. With Biden, there is not. Just like there wasn't a reason to impeach Obama, there was actually more of a reason to impeach Bush, but, of course, we didn't do that. And they impeached Clinton. I said, now they just want to go after Biden, but in this case, there is literally no reason. So that except for we just want to impeach him because the Democrats impeached Trump. That's really all I can – that's the best answer I can give for that.
You're right. It's called revenge.
But you know what? The American voters are smart enough to see that we're not going to continue to run this government based on vengeance. That's not how you operate the government. That's not how you improve economics. That's not how you improve people's lives. That's not going to better health care. That's not going to better education, wages, stimulus checks, foreign policy, infrastructure, any of that type of stuff. And so you know what? I think that there's only one of two things that's going to happen. Either the impeachment might just barely pass the House, or, you know, it may not pass the House because a number of Republicans, they may not take it seriously. And they know that people like Lauren and Marjorie are too far right, too extreme, and too stupid for them. So I almost kind of think it's not even going to happen.
Yeah, I kind of think that it's not going to happen. But my point that I'm trying to make is that since the Republicans have taken over the House, they basically have done nothing. They have not passed one policy. They have not written one law. They have voted against everything that could help the people of this country.
Yep.
And here we go again. We're in, they're starting over again in September after being off a freaking month. You know, why they were off the whole month of August blows my mind. Okay. They probably got paid for it as well. So I guess what I'm angry about is that they are just working on revenge. That is it. They're upset because President Trump, the former President Orange Monster, he was never the president in my eyes, but they're upset because, yes, he's probably going to go to freaking prison, and he's taking people with him. So what? He broke the law. He is not above the law. If President Biden broke the law the way President Trump broke the law, the Orange Monster broke the law, then I would say that President Biden should have to pay the piper too. I mean, no one is above the law in this country.
Yeah, I want the next Republican debate or whatever they call that. That wasn't a debate. That was a shit show. You know, whoever the moderator is, ask the Republicans who are running for president, what is your policy if and when you become president? And I bet they'll assess things like, oh, cut Social Security, cut Medicare, Medicaid, or get rid of them totally. Get rid of the Department of Education. Get rid of the Department of Energy. Get rid of whatever department. You know, it's like they want smaller government, but yet still, you know, when Trump was in there, they're putting these people in key positions who are the total opposite and believe in total opposite of what department they're running. Perfect example, Betsy DeVos, education. You know, that was a classic example. Rick Perry in energy. When Rick Perry was running for president, he said the energy department is one of the departments he'll cut out completely. But yet still, he got promoted to the Secretary of Energy.
The same way that
people keep voting for these motherfuckers. Why? They hate America that much? Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, it was the same thing as the, just like how Betsy DeVos is against public education, but yet here she is the head of the education department, the same way that Scott Pruitt had sued the EPA before, but then now he's the head of the EPA, the same way that you had people like Steven Mnuchin talking about how he wanted to Trump was talking about having to protect the Treasury, but then here he is appointing people like Steve Mnuchin who want to loot the Treasury. And so you,
exactly.
Yeah, that whole, yeah. And so, you know what? Here's another thing that I thought about. Here's the other theory. To go back to Laurie's point about the Biden impeachment, here's the other theory that I have. And this is one that I've actually heard amongst more Republicans. They've talked about this more openly, is how they're always talking about how the Democrats are weaponizing. They're using the FBI and the CIA and the DOJ to weaponize to go against political opponents. Well, here's the thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
What they're too ignorant and stupid to understand is the fact that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris actually have nothing to do with any of this. The guy who was the leader of the FBI who did the raid in Trump's home in Florida, that guy was a guy who was a Republican who was appointed by Trump. The guy, the judges that were on the court that told him that there was no evidence of the election tampering, those were judges that he appointed. Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney told him that. And then when they did the recount in places like Arizona, and Trump said that, oh, the Democrats tampered with that, the Democrats said, we're not even going to touch this. And so Republicans did the audit, and they came out, and Biden still won. So there's so many different examples I can give to people where every time they say it's a Democratic witch hunt, all the people that have been proven wrong and been disproven themselves and the people that have been going after Trump, they are all Republican. And some of these prosecutors in some of these federal spots in different states, some of these are self-proclaimed Republicans too. So Biden has nothing to do with this. Kamala, Pelosi, anybody. So that to me is the reason why I think they want to go after an impeachment, because they think that Biden is using the legal system as a weapon against Trump. And so that to me is where they're going to be easily disproven. Nobody's going to be able to get on board with that. Because if they think that we're going after political opponents and they think we're just going after him because he's a Republican, then I got news for you. That means Dick Cheney would have been locked up a long time ago.
Oh, yes, yeah. And, you know, in last week's interview with Glenn Beck, Donald Trump said outright, not hiding anything, if and when he's reelected in 2024, the first thing he'll do is lock up his opponents and send some of them to Guantanamo Bay. I'm not making it up. You can, you know, you can Google it, whatever, you know, however you get information, except for Fox News and right-wing shit shows. You know, that's what Trump said he would do. So, I mean, with that,
well,
that alone should disqualify
right now,
him from being president.
Right now,
because
Biden, I can tell you right now, if Biden and them are going to Guantanamo Bay, then Trump should be right there in the same room with them.
Yeah. Yeah, especially him.
He should have been there 2 years ago, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
You know, go on to have a better country, that's for
sure.
And
so all the Republicans are going to do is going to sit there and continue to whine and moan about how the Democrats are wasting taxpayer dollars with all this spending, but then at the same time here they are going to waste our taxpayer dollars going after a president who, to no evidence, has committed a crime that put the country in danger or did something wrong or abused the office or anything like that. It's a waste of taxpayer dollars, and all that's going to do is help the Democrats in the next election, because Joe Biden is not leaving the office anytime soon.
Exactly. 515-605-9802 is a number to call. Say first name, where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from everybody, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, Communist, whatever. Just call in. We'd love to hear from you. Don't be shy. We don't bite hard here unless you're a right-wing Trumper. Then we'll, you know, bite your head off. Okay, so, yeah. So this thing, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to, Eric had mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene before, and I just want to read what she wrote today on that X, which is the former Twitter. It's now called X, I guess. And I'll just read what she said. In a rant posted on X on Monday, Greene doubled down on previous demands to release all the security footage from the Capitol during the January 6th attack, this time suggesting it could help patriots prove a conspiracy theory that federal agents were planted into the crowd to incite violence. And she went on to say, I call for releasing the tapes and stopped doing so when it was explained to me that groups like Sedition Hunters would use facial recognition software to go after more vulnerable people, wrote Green, after seeing the horrific, inhumane treatment of pre-trial J6 defendants in the D.C. jail in 2021 and being one of the few members of Congress that is against the persecution of the J6ers, I was afraid the DOJ would unjustly target more people. However, she continued, those who sympathize with the accused and the convicted rioters should turn the tables and use facial recognition software themselves to unveil government employees, she said, encouraged the insurrection. If they can use facial recognition, why can't we, she continued. Green's idea to have patriots employ the same tactic to identify the Fed and or others who were supposedly responsible for entrapping Trump supporters to commit violence at the Capitol. Enough of this theater. It's time to end this. Everybody needs the truth, and the weaponized government must be stopped, quote Marjorie Taylor Greene. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine her as Vice President of the United States, the conspiracy theorist. That's scary. That's frightening. But she won't get to that stage because everybody in America know how crazy she is and how stupid she is. And she hasn't done anything worthwhile in Congress. As a congresswoman to garner the vice presidential nomination, you know, it's only Republicans, MAGAs, who really support her. And even that is waning because, you know, with this impeachment thing, it's taking so long, it's frustrating their base. And they have no evidence against Hunter Biden or Joe Biden to impeach them. And it's just grabbing at straws. You know, there's no logical explanation for reasoning what you teach them.
Does anyone think that she probably is pretty deep into the planning of the J6? And she is just trying to set fire or something. I don't know what she's trying to do. But, I mean, why else is she so embattled in this? Why is she so concerned about January 6th? What is her reasoning?
She's trying to deflect from herself.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I do, too. I do think that. And you know what else? We have to remember that she's talking about the January 6th case. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, I don't know if you guys remember, handed over 41,000 hours of surveillance footage to the former Fox News host, Tucker Carlson. Remember that?
Yeah.
I believe that that happened. I was so appalled by that. So what more does she want? She can go ask her buddy Tucker to give her those tapes, can't she? I mean, really? Can't she do that?
Wait, what's your question, Laurie?
Nothing. My question is, why is Marjorie Taylor Greene so affixed on trying to put a wrench in the investigation for January 6th. She's calling on patriots. I mean, what is she hiding? Did she have something to do with the planning? Does anyone think that she has? David, do you?
Oh yes, hell yeah. The night before January 6th happened, she, Lauren Boebert, Steve Bannon, Michael Flynn, and a couple of others planned. Mm-hmm. And even Bannon said on the show, it's going to be hell tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are going to Capitol Hill and they're going to riot. You know, so, and we'll see Gina Thomas, what she said to Mark Meadows. So this was a well laid out plan and everything. And my fear is it's a dry run because when 2024 happened, and hopefully Joe Biden win a landslide. You know, the dry run that I had in 2021, then we got all out full force this time. You know, and what does the Capitol Police and the National Guard do in cases like that? You know, they keep pushing the narrative of starting a civil war. I mean, mm-hmm. don't think liberals and progressives have guns, though. I mean, hopefully it won't come to that, but, you know, these people are just living in an alternate universe and don't have any common sense, and there is violence, disruptive, disgusting people. And that is why we should go out there now, register as much people to vote, work on independents who haven't voted for years or never voted in their lives, and tell them and show them the contrast between Democrats and Republicans. Because for the past 15 years, the Republicans haven't done anything in terms of putting forward legislations. What they've done is legislate women's bodies, give more power to the NRA, you know, destructive things. And it's not helping America moving it forward. So what's the purpose of Republicans being in the House or the Senate? You know, it's either their way or the highway. And they're not willing to compromise. They're willing to shut the government down over foolishness that I can't approve. You know, so just get rid of them. Vote them out because it's not healthy for democracy when it's just one-sided. And the other side is just blocking every progress that's trying to be made and everything. It's not fair to people.
You know, how long have we been discussing the minimum wage to go to $15 an hour? How long? It's been years. It has been years. And that's still not fixed. That's still not done. And $15 an hour is not a lot of money to live on in this country at this time. You know? I mean, you have to understand what Democrats are for. I mean, they're for equal pay for, you know, for women, for equal work. They're for the $15 minimum wage per hour, which I think it should be at least $19 an hour. That's my opinion. They defend same-sex marriage. They access
better
to reproductive health care, pro-choice, offer tax credits to clean energy, more accessible for consumers, and increase domestic production of clean energy. They want to reform the student loan system, which President Biden did try to do that. Remember the $20,000, and the Republicans shut that down. They want easy access to voting, for voting rights. They oppose torture. They are for subsidized housing, infrastructure, development, and job creation. And so what is wrong with those policies? I mean, can somebody explain to me what's wrong with
those
policies?
I'll tell you what I just looked up. According to truthout.org, it says right here, according to polling by Data for Progress released, this was earlier this year in May, 74% of voters support raising the federal minimum wage to $20 an hour. The current minimum wage is still $7.25, which for some reason I thought it was $7.40, but maybe that was just Michigan.
In Michigan right now, Eric, it's $10.10 per hour because I looked it up.
Thanks to Governor Whitmer.
But that's,
you know what? I was
not
part of the
living
team.
Wage.
Right, but you know what? I was part of the team that was pressuring and really putting out there and saying to Whitmer and like Michigan Democrats says, hey, at least bring the minimum wage up to 10 as a start. And she did that, which is good so far, but we still got to go further. You know, I'm looking at this because right now the minimum wage is $7.25. And here's the thing. I remember back in 2016, you know, Bernie Sanders said he would raise the minimum wage to 15. Hillary Clinton said she would do 12 and then, of course, didn't say anything about it. So my thing is, I'm trying to figure out the best strategy to get most progressives and most moderate voters, independent and moderate Democrat voters, to get on board with if we at least get to 12 right now. that's going to be a major improvement for a lot of people. And then in due time after that, we can go to 15. It's going to be hard to sell it to people going from $7 an hour to 20 an hour. If it was me, then yes, I would just make it 20 an hour. But I would say we should at least push for 12, 13 an hour. And that's actually in the message that I sent to the office of the vice president. I actually emailed the White House about that. So I'm letting people know that this is why, come to me if you can. I'm doing my best to put messages out there and to really talk to top Democrats and really get this done.
Yeah, it's, you know, all we do is, you know, talk and argue, and time goes by, years go by, and people's lives aren't getting better. You know, prices are going up because of corporate greed, which I talked about on top of the top of the show. So, I mean, $15 an hour would be only a start, but it's not a living wage in today's economy. $10 an hour, you can't live on $10 an hour. I don't know how anyone could live on $10 an hour. You know, just buying a vehicle or leasing a vehicle is an astronomical amount of money now. They have shot through the roof. And, you know, how do people afford that? They all need to drive to where they're going, you know?
Yeah, you know, 15 more steps. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Lori.
No, I was just going to say, go ahead, David. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah. 15 more states, including North Carolina, Georgia, and North Dakota, that do have their own minimum wage, but they've also chosen to stick with $7.25 per hour. But when you compare it to New Mexico, where I live, for example, New Mexico has a 16th highest minimum wage, and the current minimum wage is $12 per hour. You know, at least it's not $7.25 or $10, or $12.
No.
And we're a poor state. But in a couple years' time or sooner, we'll have $15 an hour as minimum wage in New Mexico. Why? Because we believe in unions. We'll have a great governor in Michelle Lujan Grisham. She's serving her second term on everything, the term note. So, you know, the next election cycle, hopefully Martin Heinrich, who's the current U.S. Senator from New Mexico, will run for governor and win. Because we're a progressive state, we're a full blue state, and we believe in workers' rights and everything. You know, we believe in women's rights. We believe in all the rights. You know, so, you know, the rest of the states, especially the red states, should get with the program, because $7.25 an hour, $10 an hour cannot work, and people are really suffering. You know, we can do better than that. We're the richest country in the world.
Go ahead, David.
That's it.
I was going to say, and then the same corporations, like Walmart, for instance, that doesn't pay a living wage, and then they get tax subsidies so that their employees can collect Medicaid while they can be on Medicaid while they're working. Does that make sense? So the government is subsidizing Walmart, and it's not just Walmart. It's other corporations as well. I'm using them as an example. They subsidize Walmart, the government does, so that their employees can be on Medicaid and work in the meantime. So what type of reasoning is that? That's wrong, in my opinion, because Walmart is a very rich corporation. So why do they need subsidy from the government for their employees? Why?
You know what? Like you said, it's pure greed, and it's just it's just corruption. That's really all it is. But you know what? Everybody, I'm just gonna say this right quick. I'm gonna have to cut this a little short for myself, but I will tell you this. Next time I call in, I'll call in on Sunday night. And then we'll actually go into the pros of why we need to do things like increase the minimum wage, give more stimulus checks, things like that. So I'll be going into more detail about that when I call you guys back on Sunday.
Okay. Sounds great.
But, yeah, so good to be here. Elaine, David, Lori, everybody else who's here.
Yep.
Thanks for having me as usual. You guys have all my contact information. Feel free to put it out there and let the public know where they can find me at. And I will be back soon.
Okay, Eric.
Yes,
take care.
All right, well, thank you.
Have a nice night.
Thank you. Take
yes,
care.
Ma'am.
That was Eric.
Yes, ma'am. That was Eric in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so what next can we talk about?
How about, you remember Jenna Ellis?
Yes.
Yeah, how about her? She's another.
Yeah, Mugshot Barbie. Mugshot Barbie, the one who defended Trump.
Yeah, let's finish with her. I think that's funny. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. Oh, yes, man. So Mugshot Barbie, she is Trump's co-defendant at Jella Ennis, and she was responsible, one of the people responsible for trying to illegally overturning the results of the 2020 elections in Georgia. So she appeared to be reveling in the mugshot, and she had this big grin on her face like it's some sort of joke or something. And 19 defendants are charged in a 41-count indictment last month that outlined the alleged scheme to subvert the results in the Georgia presidential vote, which backed Joe Biden over Trump in the election. It's the fourth criminal case brought against the former president. Ellis, who's a former Trump lawyer, pleaded not guilty to violating Georgia's Racketeering, Influencing, and Corruption Organization Act, or RICO, and the solicitation of violations of oath by a public officer on Thursday. So this nincompoop, this idiot, Jenna Ellis, you know, she pleaded not guilty. And, you know, if she's found guilty, she could go away for racketeering, violating the oath of a public officer, forgery, false statements, and other offenses, and waive arraignment. You know, so Trump surrendered in Fulton County Jail on August 24th, as we all know, and Scotland became the first former president to have a mugshot taken. But when you say Ellis's mugshot, she wore a pink lipstick and smiled widely when she was booked, and the photo was taken a day earlier. So since then, she has made the photo of her profile picture on Twitter and other social media accounts. It's like she don't get it. She thinks this is a joke. You know, these people think they're bigger than the law. And on Saturday, shared an edited version of the photo featuring a pink border, pink handcuffs, and the words Mugshot Barbie on Instagram. You know? I mean, who the hell does this woman think she is? Seriously.
Oh, she's going to be... She's that big smile with the pink lipstick on her face is going to disappear pretty quick. And I'm 100% positive about that. You know, she has, you know, she had better come into reality because she could be facing prison time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then
And a pretty little thing like her would not survive a week in prison, much less a day.
Mm-mm.
Big Bertha will have her way with her. Trust me, I promise you.
And she's also crowdfunding to pay her legal fees because Trump has refused to pay costs. And she went on to say, thank you for your prayers and amazing support as we fight criminalizing the practice of law. Ellis wrote in her pinned post on X with a link to her page on the Christian crowdfunding platform, Give, Send, Go. I can't do anything but I think that's hysterical.
Yeah. Yes, as of yesterday, Ellis has raised more than $192,000, according to her pages. And Ellis was one of the several conservatives who echoed Trump's lies that in the 2020 elections, it was stolen from him. She was the one who was sitting right behind Giuliani when he was given a conversation. He was being cross-examined in Georgia, and when he let out a big fart, this big broad smile came on her face. I guess she was enjoying his fart. I mean, hey, if you're into that, I'm not judging you, Miss Ellis, but, you know, good Lord. And so, those fabrications helped fuel the attack on the U.S. Capitol, by supporters of Trump on January 6, 2021. So with her not having any money, hopefully, you know, she's going to be thrown to the wolves and everything, and she's going to go down quickly. Because, like,
you know,
everybody else, she wants a speedy trial, and she's not paying her lawyers. She don't have no representation. She's going to lose her license as a lawyer, practicing lawyer. So she's screwed. So, you know, keep smiling, Sudapai, because Big Bertha going to have her way with you.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, okay, $100,000. That's a lot, you know, quite a bit of money, but it's that's a drop in the bucket for her legal costs. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
estimating has already paid out $40 million this year in legal and lawyer fees. $40
million. Wow.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, you know, it's just, I mean, justice can be very weak, but in the meantime, we have to endure this sort of stupidity and ignorance. You know, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't know things to gain out of, you know, making a deal out of her and, you know, posting herself with pink handcuffs and pink lipsticks, you know, the Barbie look or whatever. I mean, what is she going to mm-hmm. get out of that? That's absolutely asinine, in my opinion.
Yes, she thinks she's being cute and toy.
Yeah, whatever she thinks she's being, she's wrong.
No. So,
smile away, lady. You won't be smiling in prison.
Nobody likes a smart ass.
Huh?
Nobody likes a smart ass.
Yep, that's right. Better believe it.
Oh.
So
she's his attorney,
yep.
huh? Interesting.
Yeah, well, she'll lose her license, so, you know, she won't be an attorney soon and everything. So,
yeah,
okay,
you,
last thing, because
yeah.
we have under 8 minutes left. Go ahead, Lori, you were saying something.
No, I was just going to say, can you imagine, you know, she's going to basically lose her, probably, you know, lose her law license, you know, possibly go to prison, you know, be in debt with legal fees. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, she'll be young, probably, you know, of course, to come out of prison. But what will she have?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And who does
mm-hmm.
she have to thank for? Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he could give a crap
well,
about her.
Depending on how long she stay in prison, you know, hopefully
mm-hmm.
she come out all beautiful and what have you. So, you know, she can depend on her feminine wiles because he's right-wing woman. You know, they're not intelligent. They don't act right. They don't think right. You know, so basically, look, perfect example, Fox News. Mostly blonde,
mm-hmm.
beautiful, brown eyes, green eyes, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Wearing them short, short dresses and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at, when you break on Fox News, there's no substance to it. It's not a news organization. It's it's just like the media wing for the Republican Party, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of those women who work at Fox News have a drop of sense. You know?
No.
And it's embarrassing, you know, that, you
yep.
know, the FCC allow some organization like Fox News to be on air because every
mm-hmm.
time they're debunked at a shit that they report, they grab things out of the air. You know, they're grabbing
mm-hmm.
over the ass and say, oh, yeah, look what Democrats doing. You know, trying to take away your stove. They're trying to make you drink two beers when you go out.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's trying to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, Democrats trying to take your guns. Nobody
yeah.
is trying to do that. They've been singing on that tune about guns ever since FDR until now. And
mm-hmm.
every election cycle, it's the same thing. Guns, guns, gays. That's,
mm-hmm.
it's like they're whipping up dead pony. You know,
mm-hmm.
and when will people wake up and realize that Republican Party is just like, it's just nonsense. It's worse than SNL. SNL couldn't write this crap. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
frightening. It's unbelievably
yep.
frightening that so many people
mm-hmm.
still vote for Republicans and believe in the cause and everything. It's very disturbing. And the world laughs when they say that, you know, people still follow the Republican Party and take them seriously and even vote for them. Any other country, they'll be laughed out of town. They'll be like, okay, no, you got to go. You're too much right-wing and too much of religion in politics. You know, if you want that, go to Iran. Go to Pakistan. You say, oh, well, that working in those two countries. You know, so wake up, America, please. We deserve better than this. Let's try to override our democracy and destroy our democracy in 2021, January 6th. We're not going to make it happen again, okay? We'll come work too hard and came too far since 1776 to allow these fascists to overtake and install a stupid dictator like Trump or, God forbid, Ron DeSantis, who's far worse than Trump. You know, it's scary, and added to which, you know, Ron DeSantis is very creepy. Yeah, he's creepy as hell. But anyway, that's my last word on everything.
Now, I just hope that people are thinking about what could happen to this country if they don't vote for Democrats up and down the ballot. I think that if you really start to think about that, if you do a little bit of research, just a little, you don't have to do a lot, just a little bit of research as to just what they've done and what their proposals are for the coming years, that might give you a clearer picture of why you need to, you know, vote Democrat, vote Democratic. Now, the thing is that we have to encourage young people to register to vote. Those that have not voted, this will be their first time voting. We need to talk to these young people. Every single chance that we get, ask them if they're registered to vote and give them reasons why they need to vote. And I think most of them understand why they need to vote, but in case they don't, it might be something that we could start doing more of.
Indeed. Yeah, because this is a make or break election in 2024. Yeah. And God forbid the Republicans build both the House and Senate, and God forbid the presidency, then the democracy is over. You know,
you know, when we say, like you just said, our democracy is over, that is not a comment that we just make that we don't really believe. We believe that. I believe that. I believe that this group of MAGA Republicans have no interest in the country or its people. The only thing they have in is themselves just basically destroying the country and what it was born on, our everything that we have stood for all these years. They're ready to burn it all down. That's my opinion.
Yep.
And that's why we should all be worried. I'll be worried and be talking to people and explaining why it's important to vote in this election and who to vote for.
Yeah. All right. So, on that note, we'll thank Elaine, Susie, and Eric for calling in tonight. And those people shy, whether you're in Illinois or Tampa, Florida, or in California, wherever you are, you know, thanks for listening and thank you for sharing.
Yep.
You know, no need to be shy here. We're welcoming. Unless you're a Trump, MAGA Republican, then you can fuck right off. We're not interested in hearing from you. But if you want to call in, then, you know, call in as a MAGA. We'll put you in your place. Oh, so until next week, Sunday and Monday, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. This has been Kitchen Politics for September 4th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone be safe. Have a nice week. And we'll see you next time. Bye now.
Happy Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. Happy Labor Day. Thank you.
My name is Kyla, and concrete has been my career. I'm a cement mason by trade. Being a mom is hard. It's just hard in a different way. It's really unique to catch a break. I feel like Joe Biden understands people like me. All of the things that Biden fought to get passed helps the middle class. Wages are going up around here. The people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, they're getting a pay raise. What President Biden has accomplished is actually helping real people.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. It's the time giving me easy. And let me try with pleasure hand.
Take you in the town to
come and learn.
To show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love.
What's your name? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time
to show
you what you need to live?
Tell us who is calling.
Tell you why.
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Change my head, He's a shield upon my right and my left hand. So shall I be. Shall I be my king? Shall I be my life and my salvation? So shall I be. He's my God throughout this creation, so whom shall I be? Jah is my King. Jah is my guide, in my resting and my rising. So shall I? He's my guide when I step out in the forward. So who shall I be? So